Amen. Thank you for being here today. Take out your Bibles. Hope you brought them today. I see some folks that are missing. I told them if we get snow below Paducah or above Paducah, everybody forgets to come. And so I'm glad to have you here today. Be careful going home. It don't look like it's going to get that bad here, but we don't know. And so I hope I appreciate you coming out on a snowy day today. Been a good day for some soup. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 6 is where we're going to begin at today. I didn't end the series last week. Sorry about that, Jim. But Jim put on our podcast that we were ending last week. But it's too good to end. Amen. How many of you here want to be happy? Yeah. We got about half of you. Okay. The rest of you are liars. Okay. That's all. So, all of us in here want to be happy. So that's why we picked this series about being happy. And if you didn't go through this series, you've probably missed one of the best series we've ever had in this church. I'm really telling you that. Again, if you didn't go through it, we have some DVDs back there you can borrow. We've all turning in our DVDs in the Andy Stanley study. You can go on YouTube and do Andy Stanley, what is it, something move. What is it? Anybody know? Anyway, your move, yeah. And you can watch it on your computer on YouTube. And so, but I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to watch this series and go through it because he gives us a pathway to happiness. A lot of us have caught it up into the lie, and we tried to talk about that. I've tried to say something about that almost every week, that you make a choice in life. Either you're going to be holy or you're going to be happy, but you can't be both. And it was very strategic that he put that right on the first, that we can be holy and we can be happy at the same time. And what we've learned through this series, and we're going to talk about again today, is holiness leads to happiness. The world lies to us. It makes us think that sin is what leads to happiness. It makes us think that if we go against God, that's what's going to make us have fun in life and have the good things. It's like God's holding out on us on something. But God's not holding out on you on happiness. He wants us to be happy. So that's why he gives us the capacity to be happy. And so that's what this series has been about. And so today we're going to pick it up, and we're going to land this plane this time, Jim, okay? We're going to go ahead and put it, we're going to come to the conclusion of this, okay? But I just didn't want to let it go because it was so much information. And what we do is, like, we go through this information, we just kind of discard it and put it to the side. It's like, okay, that was good. Now let's go and do something else. Well, this is too important. This can change your life. When we live lives that are happy, it affects everything about our lives. It affects relationships. It affects our relationship with God. It reflects our relationship with other people. And so I want this church to be happy. Amen. I want us to be a happy church. I want this to be a place where people come in and they can feel the love of God. They can feel the love of Jesus. We understand who we are and what Christ has done for us. And that should make us happy. Christians should be the happiest people on the planet. Amen. And the only way we can be the salt and the light that the Bible tells us to be is to have an attitude that it causes us to have that happiness because of who we are in Christ. Doesn't mean that everything in the world is good. It's not ever going to be. And if you're waiting on everything in your life to be good for you to be happy, then you probably never will be, okay? So you need to realize that. And we covered all that through this series, and I hadn't got time today to do all that. Like I said, I'm just telling you, Andy Stanley does a lot better job than I'm doing, so you need to go watch the DVD, get one here back in the library. Mike can get you one, or I can get you one, or go on YouTube and watch it on Andy Stanley and see all that goes on. So if you miss those, you need to check it out, okay? And so today, to conclude this, we're talking about God, I want to be happy. And today is reaping the good life, reaping the good life. We want the good life. We want that abundant life is what the Bible calls it. We want that, and God wants that for us, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people come in with this religious tone about, man, you know, you can't, you know, this is a sin-sick world, and we're to go out here, and we're to be grudge, and we're God's army and all that things. But listen, we can go out as God's army and still have a smile on our face, amen? And so we have to understand that. So look at your text here, Galatians chapter 6, starting in verses 7 through 10. And here's what Paul says. He says, do not be deceived. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get us back from being deceived because we've been deceived about some things, okay? And that's what Paul's saying. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So he's doing a contrast. All through here, you're going to see contrast. Then in verse 9, he says, let us not become weary in doing good. That's what happens in life. It wears us down. If you watch the news very much, I have to just kind of have a news break every now and then because I take it too serious sometimes, okay? Even the radio, even talk radio, the Christian talk radio, I have to get away from it because it brings out all the bad things that are happening in this world. And we see this world is in decline, amen? It shouldn't catch us by surprise that this world is in decline. But one day Jesus is coming back, amen? One day Jesus is coming back, and that's our hope. That's what we look forward to. But until then, we're not to be of this world, but we're to live in this world and be a part of the answer of what the problem is. But then he goes on in verse 9, he says, but let us not become weary in doing good. For the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So it's a condition here. Then he goes in verse 10, therefore we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So what he's giving us here, what Paul's giving us, he's giving us a recipe for a successful life. And that's what a happy life looks like. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, dear God, and we end the series here, a series on happiness. And there's a lot of people in the church today that thinks that happiness is not our goal in life. But God, all of us in here would be lying to ourselves because all of us in here want to be happy. That's when we work hard. That's when we do so many of the things that we do because, God, we want to enjoy life. And God, that doesn't make you mad. You created us with the capacity to have abundance. You created us to have the capacity to have a happy life. And God, you want that for us. And the devil is a deceiver. He lies to us, and he wants to make us think that the church and God's people are to be suppressed and be down and always be, serious about everything that goes on. And God, we can fall into that rut to the point that we lose our joy, we lose our happiness. And God, that's not what you want. We have to realize that, God, you are the answer. And you give us a pathway to happiness. And it's through this series we've seen that we have laid this out, that Andy has laid this out, and Mike and I's preaching have laid this out because it's something that's so important to us, God, to find happiness in life. And so help us understand it's not anything wrong with that as long as we're following your recipe, your way to happiness, because that's where the truth is found. And so, God, let us find truth today that we might apply it, that we might be people of the truth, that we might go out and spread it to the world around us. We love and we praise you, and we pray this in the precious name of Jesus, and amen. Amen? Well, so through this series, the opening question is this. Do I know enough to be happy? You do if you follow through this series. And again, that's why I'm coming back to this. A lot of you need to go back and get the DVD. You need to get on YouTube. You need to follow it. You need to see. You need to go through this because this has been a ton of information. It's been thrown at you, and it's over and over and over again, so you can lose it. And so you need to realize that I know, as a life group leader, I've probably watched those, and I showed you. I've made a case this time for watching the complete messages. Sometimes the edit messages are okay, but this time they left out a whole lot. And so some of you guys, you didn't do that. And I understand that our time factor in our life group sometimes prohibits us from doing that. But, you know, I did it, okay? I went through it, and we kind of just bit the bullet. We didn't have as much time to discuss it, but I thought it wasn't that important. So go back and look through the full, complete messages because the edited part leaves so much out. And so I encourage you to do that and want you to do that. So if you've done that, then you've learned enough to know how to be happy. Now, but that's applicational. See, there's a lot of times that you come into church, and a lot of people come here just for information. You know, tell me what I need to do. Well, I come in here every week, and I try to make my messages applicational. I believe that's the purpose of it. It's just not know the truths. It's to apply the truths to our lives. And so it's the same thing when it comes to this reaping or having the good life or being happy. It's the same thing. We have to apply some things to our life. And so this journey has carried us to a point of happiness if we follow it. So I want us to really get this right, and why am I doing this? It's because this is so important to us. This stuff is important, and it affects our attitude about life. It affects our attitude about God and about other people, and it makes us more effective people. You hear me say this from time to time. You have to come to a conclusion in your life, somewhere in your life, hopefully sooner rather than later. Am I here to impress people, or I'm here to influence people? Because you usually can't do both. People that are out there to impress people, you can pick them out pretty quick. And a lot of it's just phony. It's a show. And you can pick them out. I can pick them out. God gives us a sermon. And usually you won't follow people that are trying to impress you. You follow people that are trying to make an influence in your life. They're trying to show you something, show you a truth, show you a way, show you a path to something that they know that you need in life to make your life better. And so that's what this is about. That's what the Bible is about. Jesus is showing us ways to that we can make it not only change our life, but it can influence in people and change in their lives also. And that's what we have Scripture for. It tells us those things. And this path that we've taken here is a path about happiness and about our relationships with God, but also with other people. So I really want us to get this right. I really want you to leave here today and say, man, I've got a handle on this happiness stuff. And I really know the pathway to that. And God, help me to live a happy life. Help me to be a happier person in life. And let me get this. And so today, what I want to do in conclusion, and I'm not going to try to go too long, but I have a lot of points here, and I have a lot of scripture here, because I want you, like I said, this is important, okay? And so what do we sow to grow happiness? Well, the first thing is we learned about it. I'm kind of going through our series. I'm just breaking it down and kind of doing some things. You've heard some of this before, but I want to bring it all together, and I want to kind of give you one sheet or one bulletin that you can have it all on here. The first thing we learned about was relationships, that we can't be happy with bad relationships. Our relationship to God and our relationship with each other are the most important things in life. And we learned that, okay? And we learned that no thing can make us happy. It's a who or a what? A couple of you got it. It's a who or a two, okay? It's the people that God brings into our lives that can make us happy in life, okay? So happiness is not a what, but a who. And so it has to do with the people around us. So it's important that we have good relationships with each other. It's important that we have a good relationship with God. And happiness comes when our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationship with each other are right. And that brings us to something we talked a lot about in this series. It brings us to a point of peace. See, a lot of you don't know what you're looking for in life, but what you're looking for in life is really peace. Because we've learned through this series is when we have peace, that's what really brings us happiness. And so when I have peace with God, and I have peace with myself, and I have peace with other people around me, that's going to lead me to what I call happiness, okay? If I have conflicts constantly going on in my life, okay, and I can't resolve those things, and it's going to always keep me unsettled, and it's going to keep me from having peace, and so peace leads to happiness with God, others, and ourselves. And so peace is the core of happiness. And so most of the time, we're at war with something. That's why I have to do a detox from the news sometimes, a detox from talk radio, because I've got to get away from that. So because it's so much negativity that comes in, and it's not something, I mean, it's good, it's information that I need to understand what's going on in the government, what's going on in the country, what's going on in the world. I need to know that, but you can get too much of that, okay? So every now and then, you just got to slide all that away and just get back to the Bible and say, God, give me some truth, give me some encouragement, give me some hope that I might help other people have the same thing. So the first thing we learn is what? It's peace is the core. We're going to talk more about that later. The first thing we talked about was relationships to happiness. The key thing to happiness is a relationship. But then we talked about holiness. We don't talk about holiness a lot, okay? And here's a scripture for you here again. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Since we have these promises, dear friend, let us purify ourselves from everything. And here's the word that contaminates body and spirit. Perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. When we get saved, we have a relationship with God, but what we have to understand is then we have a process that we go through that our lives are being sanctified. We call it sanctification. And so he's saying here, what he says here, he says, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. The more reverence you have for God, the more you know God, the more you're going to do what? You're going to follow Him. And following God is what leads to holiness. And very quickly in our lives, we realize we can't do it on our own, okay? The Ten Commandments was never given to us to be saved by because why? None of us can keep them, okay? The Ten Commandments was given us to show us what God's standard is. And guess what? We can't live up to it on our own, amen? We have to have help. That's when we get saved. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us. And He helps us live that way and keep in track with God. And so what we learned was what? When I sow good, I reap good, okay? So it's happiness is a process of life. We learn that. It's just not a one-time deal and then I'm happy, okay? It's not like that. It's a process of life and how we sow and what we reap, and it brings us into happiness. And this is what we learned. We learned that what? We need to be right spiritually. We call that holiness. And as we grow holy, what we understand is we have a more dependency on God. We don't become independent of God as we mature. What we do, we go more dependent on God. And so the closer I get with God, the more that I know I need God in my life. And so as I grow in my maturity, the more God I need, the more God I want. And it leads me to help me live that holy life. To be right emotionally, we call that happy. So happiness is an emotion that we have, but it's affected by these different things. It's affected by our spiritual life. It's affected by our physical life. And so to be right emotionally, we call it happy, and to be right physically, we call it healthy. And so what's holiness? What is holiness? Well, it's doing the right thing in the right way for the right reason, and that calls us to live a holy life, which leads to what? Which leads to peace, and which leads eventually to happiness. So holiness and happiness goes together. They're not in opposition of each other. So the more that I live for God, the more that I follow God, the more that I obey God, that's going to do what? We call that holiness. But what that does, that leads into this area that we call peace, which eventually leads into happiness. Because I have peace with God, I have peace with myself, and I should have peace with other people. Doesn't mean we're not going to have struggles. Doesn't mean we're not going to have conflicts. But they're quickly resolved, and we moved on, okay? We need to move on, so it's moving on. Not that we're not going to have problems, but we pick up and go on and move on, and we don't dwell on those things. And so there's a sense of happiness because of the holiness that we live. So holiness and happiness go together, and it causes us to live a life that has little or no regrets. When you go home every night and you go and you lay in your bed, and hopefully you pray before you go to sleep, when you do that, there's something about knowing that you served the Lord that day, that you've been where God wanted you to be, you've done what God wanted you to do, you've talked to the people that God wanted you to talk to, you've loved people like God wanted you. It's just something that comes inside of you that is kind of, you know, I've lived for you today, God. I've lived a holy life for you today. And that brings a peace that the Bible says that we can't explain. A peace that passes understanding. And what it comes out of a life of holiness. But the devil's lie, he is a deceiver. What he deceives us to do is we go against God. That's going to give us the things we want in life. And that's not true. It's not true. It's a lie. And that's what makes this message, that's what makes this series so important. Because we invest so much in life to be happy, but the problem is we're looking in the wrong direction. We're looking at the wrong place. So what the Bible is here to do is to give us those happiness. It gives us a recipe of success, and it brings into happiness. And what happens is when you don't live a holy life, you live a life of regret. You regret what you do in life. You regret what you say. You regret what you did. And what that does, let me tell you what that brings. Regret brings stress. That's why we're so stressed out so much of the time, because we regret what we didn't do or what we should have done. And we fall into that category. We fall in the category of sin, okay? So the first thing is this. We talk about relationships. We talked about holiness. And then we went to the third category. And this is where I brought it out a couple of times. But this is where the third category, we talk about peace. We long for peace. Peace with God. Peace with ourselves and peace with other people. That's what we long for. That's what you're looking for in life. Maybe you've never really identified it. A lot of you never really take the time to make you understand what really leads to happiness. So you think, I've got something, this is what I want out of life, God, but I don't know how to get there. And then a lot of you don't know when you get there, if you do get there, because you've never really thought about it. But what happiness and what Andy Stanley pointed out is really what we're longing for in life is not just what we call happiness. What we're longing for is really peace, because it leads to happiness. So John 14:27 is showing us that we need some help. Listen to what Jesus says here. Peace I leave with you, talking about the Holy Spirit to give us the peace. He says, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. If you remember, we went through a series here, and we're going to get back into that here not long. We went through the series of the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are the upside down side of happiness. Because what the world tells us is one thing, but what Jesus was telling us was something else. And so the Beatitudes, as we went through that series, we learned that so much of it didn't make any sense to the flesh, because it's not what the world tells us, but it does make sense to the Spirit when we're Spirit-filled and when we're walking with God. And so the Beatitudes were given there, and so it brings a peace to us. It says blessed, and what's that word blessed means? That word blessed means it means happy. And we went through those Beatitudes, and we'll talk more about that in a few more weeks. And so it brings us to that peace. When we're living a life that God brings us into, it brings us that sense of peace. Happy people have a peace with God, peace with themselves, and peace with other people. And so what do we have peace with? Well, when we are saved, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that's a getting in place, okay? That's not the end of something, it's a beginning of something. So when we get saved and we have that peace with God, that talks about relationship. We're talking about salvation there. And so our relationship can never change with God, but we have something else. It's not just a relationship, then we have fellowship with God. And that does change. And so what happens is when we live disobedient lives and we live lives that are worldly, what happens is then that peace, it relinquishes because what? Because we're not in fellowship with God. And when we're in fellowship with God, what we talk, the Bible calls it, it calls walking in the Spirit, being Spirit-filled. It means that I'm allowing the Spirit of God to work in and through me, and He's guiding my life. And when we have that, what that brings, it brings peace in our lives. That's when, that's when we can lay down at night and say, God, you know, I've been yours all day, you know. I've been living for you. This is what I wanted to do. This is what you want me to do. This is where you want me to be in life. And we have a peace that comes from that. So we have it in our relationship, but we have to have it in our fellowship, and we do that as we're allowing the Spirit of God to work in and through our lives. And being in fellowship with God causes us to have a peace. And what does peace look like? Well, here's what it looks like. A person with peace, a person that has peace, that has happiness, they're not angry very much. Oh, they might have a moment every now and then, but when you see them mad, it would surprise you, you know. If they said something, it would surprise you. A person with peace is not bitter towards things. They don't show vengeance. They don't play the victim all the time. They're not unforgiving. They're the person that lives by the golden rule. They want to treat other people like they want to be treated, and they have a mindset of doing that. It's the kind of person you'd want to be around, okay? And so some people you say, oh, no, here they come. And other people say, oh, good, here they're coming, okay? And so it's one of those type of people. So a person that lives in peace is people that we enjoy being around because they have that sense of peace about them because they're giving in to the Holy Spirit. They're walking in the Spirit. They're filled with the Spirit. They're walking in the Spirit, and they're letting God use them and be a part of His plan. And that gives us a sense of peace, that we know we're at peace with God, and it brings peace with other people and with ourselves. Then we moved on from there. Then we kind of started nitpicking here. Andy started kind of nitpicking here. Then we got into the next thing here, the fourth thing he says here. He starts talking about our stuff. Okay, and that's where we kind of get, you know, man, you can talk about, you know, my heart, you can talk about my life, but now don't start messing with my stuff. And the reason we're like that in America is because our biggest sin is materialism. That's our idol today. I mean, I don't imagine most of you've got on your mantle at home, you've got a little statue of Buddha, okay, or you've got a golden calf that you go out and bow down to and stuff like that. But anything you put before God is your idol. In America, that's our stuff. And it's called materialism. If you remember, I told you that really the American dream is really the American nightmare because it's what we're living for. It's what we give into. That's why so many people want to come to this country. They hear that we're rich. And you say, well, we're not rich. Yes, you are rich. Compared to the rest of the world, you are rich. You have a lot more than the rest of the world. If you have a roof over your head, food in your stomach, and things, a TV and a car and whatever, you're very rich compared to the rest of the world. See, the Americans don't get it. See, we don't get it. We don't think we're rich, but we are. But we have the wrong comparison. And so we started talking about our stuff here. And then we get into this real hard verse here in Luke 16 and verse 13. It says, no servant can serve two masters. No servant can serve two masters. And all of a sudden you say, uh-oh, here we go. And so it says, either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So the word that sticks out when you hear us say that, you say, well, hey, I don't hate God. I don't hate God. How can that be true? I don't hate God. And most of you don't hate God, okay? I don't think any of you would be, or you wouldn't be here on a snowy Sunday, okay? You'd be a bedside Baptist. You'd have stayed home. But it's one of those things. But it says either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be, and here's the word that should get us, he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So that's what we come into. See, what the problem is God, I don't hate you. I'm just not devoted to you. So what we do is we devote ourselves to all the things that's going to help us, that we think is going to bring us happiness, rather than devoting ourselves to God. And what he's saying is what? We're changing masters. We're putting someone else on the throne of our lives. And what happens is we think somehow or another that's going to get us to where we want to go. But let me tell you, your ladder's leaned up against the wrong thing. Okay? Because the thing is, you'll get to the top one day and you think, well, I have arrived. And all of a sudden you'll be disappointed with your arrival because you say, is this all there is to it? Is this all there is to it, you know? But when you get to the top with God, you realize there's even much more to go because we're never finished in this life because why? Our life is, we're giving our lives away. We take in, we give it out. We take in, we give it out. Remember, he gave the description of the Dead Sea. A lot of you remember that, okay? It takes in, but it never gets out. And now it's doing what? It's dying. So a lot of you are like the Dead Sea. You take in, but you never give out. You come to church for what you can get, okay? You go out and you do. Listen, you've heard me say this a few times through this series. I don't understand why we call this a service. We're not doing any serving here. You're not impressing God by being here today. You're not threatening the devil by being here today. The devil's not scared when we meet on Sundays. He's scared when we live here on Sundays and we learn something, we take it out to the world and make a difference in the world. Amen? And that's what impresses God. It's not just understanding truth. It's not just knowing these things. It's living these things out day by day. And what gets in the way of that, our stuff does. Our stuff does. What do we devote our life? You know, this is how it is. If you're on the nominating committee, and remember, the day's the last day to turn your sheets in, okay? And you're a nominating committee. Well, you know, this is how you evaluate. Because I've been there, too. It's like, well, you know, if I sign up for that, they'll expect me to be here every Sunday. Or they'll want me to be here every Wednesday night, you know. And if I do that, I've got to give. Well, listen to what? Ministry is giving up something. In ministry, you get your hands dirty sometimes. That's why some of you don't want to be involved. Some of you have been involved, and now you're out because you realize it was work, okay? Well, let me tell you what. You signed up when you got saved, amen? And if you're not serving, then you're being in disobedience. There's no two ways around. And so if all life is about is you, then you're living in sin. And you're going to stand before God one day and give an account of what you did with what God gave you with your life. And what he wants us to do with it, he wants us to do what? Ministry. And that's just taking in, that's just giving out. Taking in, that's giving out. And you're living in disobedience if you're not doing that. And we have to understand that. And our stuff gets in the way of that. So we have to ask the question, who is my master? What I spend my time on, my talents on, and my treasures, that's who's my master. And what this is, it's a value question. What do I value the most? Who do I value the most? Well, look at where you spend your time. Look at where you spend your talents. And your talents are the things that God's given you to do. Your gifts, your talents, the things that you're good at. And your treasures, the thing we have, the money, the finances, the things that we have. Where do we spend those things? Where do we use those things? What do we think about the most? It's a value question. And so what we were talking about here is we have to come to a conclusion in our lives is that we have to get content. We have to get to contentment. See, the whole world, the whole materialism thing is set up to be discontented. That's why we have commercials. Get a bigger one, get a better one, get a new one, because if you get this, then you're going to be happy. You know, you need a new improved version because it's going to make you happy. You need to look like this and smell like this. You need to go here. All these things, it brings a sense of discontentment. But contentment does what? Is get contentment with the place that God has us in life. There's a place that we have to come to and be content with who I am and who God's created me to be. I mean, discontentment is something that robs us of our joy. It robs us of the happiness of life. And so a lot of you are always looking just a little bit more. And I've used this illustration in my life group a couple of times. Many remember the little rascals, and they had a little donkey. And they'd ride him, and they'd put a little stick, and they'd put a little carrot in front of him. And so he was always trying to make him go where they wanted him to go, but make him follow on that carrot. Well, what I'm asking you today is this, is what is your carrot? What is your carrot? What is it? You know, is it more money? Is it more power? Is it more prestige? You know, what is it? What's the devil got you by the nose and dragging you around with, see? And what it does, it gets in the way of you being who God wants you to be and being successful that God calls success. See, a lot of people, they think they're successful, and they are compared to the world, but compared to God, they're failures because, one, they're investing in the wrong place. They're investing in the wrong things. They're doing it for this world and not for eternal things, for kingdom things. And so contentment comes from having a generosity about us, having a thankfulness about us, and being thankful for what we have and what God's given us. See, everything you have is a gift of God. You say, well, I'll go out and work for it. Well, the ability you have to work, God's given you that. The mind that you have to do the things that you do, the strength that you have is all a gift of God. And so everything comes to us through God, and we have to understand it. And we have to give him credit. We have to give him praise for that. So it's not mine. It's his, and we have to understand it. And so contentment is saying God. Contentment leads to peace, and that leads to a sense of happiness in our lives. And contentment does what? Contentment in life leads to a lot less stress in life. It doesn't always leave me wanting something more. It gives me a sense of satisfaction in life. It says, you know, I've got enough. I've got enough stuff. Now, let me read you this text here because it's really good. And it's long, but it's good. It's found in 1 Timothy 6 and 6 through 12. And here's Paul's talking to Timothy. And he's trying to tell Timothy because Timothy was in a rough situation here, okay? He was in a rough church, okay? Here's what it says. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If you don't have anything else written, yeah, that's a good memory verse right there. That's a good memory verse for life is this. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Well, wouldn't that be nice If we just had food and clothes, we had the necessities of life, the needs of life, what God's promised us, we would find contentment. But see, our contentment doesn't usually, it doesn't come from lacking the needs of life. It comes from lacking the wants of life. And all we do is we have a big wanter. In America, we have a big wanter, okay? And so then he goes on in verse 9, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into destruction. Verse 10, it says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But here he goes. Here's a contrast in verse 11. But you, man of God, flee. And that word flee means you need to run from it. You need to run from this idea of what happiness is. He says, flee from all this and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness. Then he goes into verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life to which you are called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So he's saying, listen, man, when you laid your hand on the Bible and you said, God, I want you and I want you as my Lord and Savior, you signed up for something. And it wasn't chasing after this world. You signed up for doing what? Chasing after the kingdom of God. Saying, God, I'm going to live for you. You're the Lord of my life. And now I'm going to invest my life with you. And I'm going to flee from these things that the world tries to suck me into. And I'm going to start giving my life for you. And then he uses some words here that does something. He first of all, he says flee. So that means we have to run from it. That means we have to sometimes realize it's a lie. And then he says what? Then you've got to fight. So actually we're fighting against the world. It's a fight that we're in. Good and evil, it's a fight. The flesh fights against the spiritual things of life. And then he says what we have to do. After we flee and after we fight, he says what we have to do. We have to take hold. That means you have to grab something. You've got to grab this concept of eternal life. Realizing, you know, what's really important in life. And so I asked this question a few weeks ago. What did you do this week that's going to make a difference 10 years from now? You know, what did you do this week that's going to make a difference 100 years from now? What did you do this year what do you do this week that's going to make a difference in 1,000 years from now? Let me tell you what you can invest in that will make a difference 1,000 years from now? People. You can invest in people's souls. Did you lead anybody to Jesus this week? Let me tell you what. If you led anybody to Christ this week, that makes a difference 1,000 years or 10,000 years. It makes a difference a million years from now. Amen? It determines where that person's going to be in eternity. That's what value is. And we have to understand how little we should invest in this world and how much we should invest in the next world. Why? Because it's going to outlive this. It's going to outlive these things. And it's much more valuable than the things of God. You've got to come to that concept in your life before you'll ever devote your life to God. Because if you don't, the materialistic world that we live in is always going to be holding on to us and dragging us back into those things. See? And that's what it's a flesh thing. It's a natural thing. And we have to understand that. So what we have to understand is fleeing from the world of greed. And it's the principles of stewardship and ownership. We don't own anything in this world. It's all God's. And so you don't grab a hold. And everything that comes into your hand doesn't mean it's yours. God blesses us that we might bless other people. And that's what really brings happiness. That's what brings joy in our lives if we're being generous. Because we're thankful for the things that God does in our lives, it makes us generous towards other people. And God uses us in that way. And so we're stewards of God's stuff. And so it's not ours. And when we mismanage our stuff, what we have to understand is that undermines our happiness. So it doesn't matter how much you have. It's how you manage what you have. There's some people that know how to live on $100 a week, but there's some people that can't make it on $1,000 because they mismanage it. A lot of times when people say, I have money problems, it's not that they don't have enough money, it's that they just don't know how to manage what they have. Amen? And so it's not how much you have, it's how you manage what God's putting in your hands. You know why God hadn't given a lot of you a lot? Because you mismanage a little, so you don't know how to manage a lot. And so you don't have a lot because you'd mismanage that too. This is the old lie. If I had more time, I would do more. If I had more money, I would what? Give more. Yeah, that's what it's always just if I had more. So it's always putting it in God. God, if you gave me, God, if you'd give me, God, if you'd give me, then I would do more. That's a lie. You ought to be doing what you can, giving what you can, where you're at right now. And that shows your faithfulness to God and being letting go of the things that you have. The next thing we talked about in 5 is living free. We see that what? We see that in Romans 6, verse 15 through 18. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means, he says. And remember I talked about this. If you use the grace of God as an excuse to sin, or live like you want to, shame on you. That's not what the grace frees us from sin. It doesn't free us to sin. Don't you? We're not to live like that. That's not how we're to live. That's what he's saying here. Verse 16 says, don't you know that when you offered yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one who you obey? Whether you are slaves to sins, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that through you used to be slaves of sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. And here's verse 18. It says, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And so who has enslaved us? What has enslaved us? And we call this living free. And then we learn this. This is what we learn. Who is our worst enemy? Remember this? Ourselves. We're our worst enemy because we're the ones that put ourselves in these positions. And so when we live for pleasure, it never brings happiness. And this is what we understand. Happiness, listen, pleasure doesn't lead to happiness. Happiness leads to pleasure. So we have it backwards. We're thinking, if I can live a life of pleasure, then that's going to make me happy. But what the thing is when I live holy, that makes me happy, and that brings in the pleasure of life. I enjoy life more when I'm living a holy life and a happy life because it leads to pleasure. So happiness leads us to pleasure. Pleasure can become a prison for us. And it's all about living to please me and having a good time and getting everything I have. And what do we say? What does pleasure look like in 2019? Well, we called it hobbies. What are you investing? What are you investing in? I mean, is something taking over your life? What about habits? What about possessions? What about relationships? They can enslave us if we live for them. Not anything wrong with those things. I have habits. I have hobbies. There's a lot. It can be good ones, okay? But it comes to that's what we're investing our life in. That's what we're living for. And they enslave us. And their lie is, I'm going to give you happiness. But what they do, they really steal happiness from us. They take away. We think that somehow another pleasure is going to bring us. And here's a couple of verses that we read. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. And here's what Solomon was teaching us. Listen to what he says. He starts out, here's in chapter 1. Here's the first thing he says. He says, I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore the wisdom of all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, and all of them are meaningless, or vanity is what's said in some Bible translations. Meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And remember, we went through a grocery list with Solomon, and he tried all these things. He went into gardening, and he went into partying, and he went into women, and all these different things. He tried all these things, and his conclusion was, it's just meaningless. It's meaningless. It's vanity. It's like living for nothing. And then it's one of those depressing books, and then all of a sudden he gets down to the last. He gets down to the last chapter, and here's his conclusion here. Now, if you know Solomon, he's the wisest and wealthiest man of his day, okay? And some people believe of ever. Here's what it comes in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now all this has been heard. Now that all this has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He's saying it's all wrapped up in God. It's fearing God and living for God. And he says when we do that, that's going to lead us to the place that we're longing for in life. It's not all those things I had invested in. It's not in this world. It's investing in the things of God. And that's going to lead us to a sense of what? Of joy, a sense of happiness and fulfillment in life. It gives us a sense of fulfillment. And that's what we're longing for in life, is fulfillment in life. And so our worst enemy is ourselves, and we stand in the way of those things. And so is there a pleasure? Is there something that I'm pleasing myself that's standing in the way of my happiness? Well, you're going to live a life of regret. You're going to live a life of regret. I don't care how good you are, how big a one you killed, or how big a one you caught, or how good a golf game you shot, or wherever you went in the world, that's not what you're going to be longing for on your deathbed. What you're going to be longing for is bring the people around me that say they love me. It's not going to be bringing me my new car or whatever. It's going to be bringing me the people, because that's the things that they're invested in. That's the things that mean the most in life. And so if we live a life just for the pleasures of life, we're going to eventually live a life of regret, because we're going to see that those things are really not meaning. Really doesn't have meaning in life. The sixth thing is this, is an open hands. Open hands. And this is what we talked about last week. In Matthew 16 and verses 24, excuse me, through 26, it says, and Jesus came to his disciples, if any one of you come after me, he must. And here we pointed that out last week, talked about he must. This is not a suggestion, this is a commandment. Okay. He says he must. First of all, he says three things. He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so we saw three requirements. He says the key here to be living life with open hands is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And so what he's saying here, there's a process here. And so what we talked about last week, if we talked about people want cheap crosses. Oh, they want him as Savior, but they don't want him as Lord. Well, you have him as both, see. If you don't have him as both, then you don't have him at all because you don't have a relationship. When you get saved, you accept him as Lord and Savior. And that word Lord means he's the boss, and I'm giving you control of my life. I'm turning my life over to you. And what we said was there's a lot of people like to wear crosses, but they don't like to take crosses up and follow God. And that's what God calls us to do. It looks pretty for you to stick it on the back of your bumper sticker or wear one around your neck. But listen, what it means is it means we're taking it up. And we explain what that means. It means following the things of God, carrying out the calling that God has on our lives. We're called to be followers. And we talked about the difference between a follower and a fan. A follower is a disciple, and that's someone that's learning. They're becoming more and more like the person they're following. So sanctification means that we're becoming more and more like Christ. I should be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. Because why? Because I'm a disciple. I'm following him. But a lot of people are fans. And what a fan does, they just sit in the stadiums and they just applaud. Y'all go get them. Okay, y'all do it really good. And so a lot of people are just fans, and they're just standing back, cheering us on. You know, that's not what God calls us to be. That's not what God wants us to be. We follow by giving and not getting out of life. We follow by giving our lives away. We learn, this is what we learn. We learn that generosity leads to happiness. The more I give away, the happier that I am. See, if you've not learned that principle, then you're still a child. That's why a child at Christmas, all they want to do is get. But as you get older and you're mature and you enjoy giving it to your kids, you enjoy giving it to your grandkids. Because why? You'd rather see the smile on their face than have one on yours. Amen? Because it's generosity. You learn that in life. Our selfishness comes from this. It comes from our fallen nature. We have a selfish nature, and we want it for us. But we're made for more than this, is what Andy Stanley told us. We're made to be generous people. We're made to be thankful people. That's how God made us. And what we learned was this, is if we sow good, we reap good. In Galatians 6 and verse 7, it's what it taught us, is do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And so the question we're asking is, what is your sowing? If you're sowing the wrong seed, don't ever think it's going to lead to happiness. If you're sowing and investing into things of this world, don't ever think it's ever going to lead to happiness. And I'm talking about true happiness, you know. When I get a new car, am I happy? Yeah, for a while, until the payment book comes in. When I get a new house, am I happy? Yeah, until the payment book comes in, until the new wears off, okay. Then I'm happy on the front end, see, but the end has results to it. But we're talking about true happiness, lifelong happiness. We're talking about joy, having true joy and happiness in our lives. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about just a short-term flash in the pan type happiness. And so it's a process, and we sow and we reap good things. And so what was the final word? I added this to it yesterday because I watched some stuff. I watched some more of the video yesterday. And I added this to it because Andy comes back to the last here and he just really sums it up and makes it really look good. And he takes a portion of Scripture and take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. If you've not been following along in your Bible, this is something you need to mark because he gives a great contrast here of what happiness looks like and what followers of Christ should look like. And it's worth turning to, and I want you to get this. I want you to mark this in your Bible. And so it's a contrast of life. This is what it is. It's a contrast of life. And he says it in Galatians chapter 5, and starting there in verse 19. He says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. And debauchery, that's just perverted sex. That's what it is. That's what it means. And then he goes on and says idolatry and witchcraft. And you're saying, well, idolatry, I'm not. Yes, you are. If you're a materialist, you are. Witchcraft is you're trying to get things. Like if you read a horoscope, you think, well, what's the harm of that? some of you that eat with me, you know, when we go to a Chinese restaurant, I won't even read my fortune cookie because I don't want to think it's going to do anything for me. Maybe you think, well, I'm a fanatic. Call me what you want. It's okay. But I just, at one time I thought it was real, okay? And then he goes on. He says, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions. And he said, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And what he's talking about, live like this, he's talking about a continuation. That doesn't mean that any of us is not going to get envious at times. But what? But the Holy Spirit convicts us and we draw back from that. We see the sinfulness of it. He's talking about this is a lifestyle. And he's saying, if that's your lifestyle, you need to take a look, man, because you know, there's something lacking. And you know what's lacking? The Holy Spirit. If you can sin and enjoy it, let me tell you what, friend, you got a problem. You need to check your salvation. Because I can sin and I can still go to heaven, but I can't sin and still enjoy it. I don't enjoy sin. That's why I don't want to anymore, okay? My desires have changed. But then he goes on. So that's the contrast. And this is what Andy Stanley said. He says, you look at that list there from verses 8 and 19 to 21. And he says, "This we always do these things at the pleasure of someone else's expense." Those things are always done at someone, okay? They're taking away. They're satisfying something in me, but it's taking away of something else. And here's the contrast starting there in verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And what he says there, the contrast is these things are for the pleasure of others. You know, and then he goes on this rant about, you know, what would our homes look like? What would your home look like? If and all these immoralities and all these enviness and drunkenness and orgies and all these jealous and fits of, you know, what does your home look like compared to when it comes down to a home of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentle and self-control? The first list, the sinful list, the fleshy list, that's at the pleasures of others. And the last list, the bottom list, is the fruit of the Spirit, is at the pleasure for others. And so what it is one is taking and one is giving. And so you need to ask yourself, you know, which one am I living in? Am I a taker or am I a giver? Am I living for the pleasure of myself or am I living for the pleasure of others? Well, what we've learned through this series is when we live for the pleasures of others, that's when we truly find happiness in our lives, see? If we give our lives away, then what happens is it gives back to us because it gives us that emotion of happiness. It gives us that emotion of joy because this is what it means. It means that I'm giving up something because I'm getting something out of it. And it gives us a feeling of making a difference in the world. It gives us a sense of satisfaction to know that I'm needed and I'm helping other people and giving my life away. It gives me the things in my life that I long for. And what it is longing for peace. And it gives us a sense of peace. And so, church, what we have to understand is that I want us to sow and I want us to reap happiness in this church. Anybody want to be happy? You know? Amen. Anybody want to be happy? All of us do. All of us do. Mike, you'll be happy? Man, you get to work with me. I mean, now, man, God bless you, man. But hey, all of us want to be happy. And I want this to be a church. I want us to walk in with a smile on our face. You know, hey, man, it's glad to see you. I want us to be glad to be here. Like, oh, we're going to church today. I'm doing my duty. You know, and that's not how y'all do it. That's not how it ought to be. And it never should have to be how we ought to do church, okay? And so I want us to be a church of happiness. I want Mount Vernon to be a church of happiness. And now why I spent time this Sunday is this. Why I spent time is this. Because he's the Bible, and Andy Stanley here, he's used the Bible to give us a recipe for success, to give us a recipe for happiness. And he's laid it all out for us. Now it's our decision of where we're going to apply it or not. Our decision where we're going to apply it. So you can walk out, the old grumpy person walked in, okay? And then come back next Sunday, you'll be just as grumpy as you've always been. But you've made a choice to be that way. Because God tells us he can give us happiness, but you do it on his terms and his way. Amen? Not ours. So a lot of things you're doing in life, thinking you're going to get happy with them, it's not going to happen. Well, it might be a sense of it, a flash in the pan, but it's not going to last. But he's giving us a pathway to happiness. And so in closing, let's look at this. What's coming up in my garden? You're sowing and you're reaping. What's coming up? Do you have a bitter spirit, an angry spirit, you know? I find myself have that time. I sow wrong seeds too. I have a bitterness and angry about me at times too. But I try to keep it in check. It makes me mad to be mad. It makes me mad to be angry at myself or to be angry. And then, so the lesson we learned was what? Happiness is a result. It's a result of sowing and reaping. We learned it was a process. And then the application today is, will I choose to be happy? Will I choose to be happy? And I want to leave us on this last verse because I think this is a very meaningful verse. And it's what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. He says, now all has been heard. He's saying, I've done told you all about my life, you know. I've kind of give you a little movie clip of my life and all that I've done and showed you all I did thinking it was going to get me what I wanted out of life. And here he comes down to, He says this. He said, now that all this has been heard, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so it's all happiness is all found in God. It's all found in God. It's all found in God. Get it? Good. Now let's go out and live it. Heavenly Father, we come to You today, dear God, as we're ending a series on happiness, and its reason it's so important is because it's what people are living for. And there's many of us in this church, including myself, God, that's what I'm longing for, and that's what I'm living for, God, is I want to be happy. And we have learned there's nothing really wrong with that, God, as long as we're looking for happiness in the right place. And that place is You. And that's where we find it is in You, Lord. So, God, we found relationships and holiness. We've seen all those things, Lord. We see a sense of peace. We see the things we have to give up in life because there are some things that we need to give up in life. You know, our salvation, our sanctification, our life giving to You, it requires something. There's conditions for those things. But, God, we're trading trash for treasure because what we're longing for in life is when we give up that we might get richer things. And that's heavenly things, kingdom things. So, God, let us ask the value question, what am I living for? Who am I living for? And God, if I ever think that I'm going to find happiness without You, then God, that's a lie. It's a lie. So help us find that truth, Lord. So God, where does it start at? Well, it starts in salvation. So God, there's some people here this morning that might not have ever accepted You as their Lord and Savior, and God, they'll never truly be happy because they wasn't made that way. They're made to have a relationship with You. You put us on this earth because You wanted us and You love us. And You want us to love You back. And that's what truly brings us happiness, God. It's when we worship You and praise You, Lord. So, God, maybe today is some folks stepping across the line and saying, I want to get in. I want to be a part of this happiness and holiness that leads to the peace that I long for. And it comes through accepting You as your Lord and Savior. So some people today need to be saved. They need to accept You as their Lord and Savior. But God, but there's many of us in here that we've already stepped across that line. And there's times in our lives that we can say, God, I'm not really happy. And so, God, help us realize, God, it's not because of You, it's because of us. It's because we're looking in the wrong place and going the wrong direction. So, God, give us this truth that we might apply it to our lives, that we might live it out day by day. God, You know every need in this building. It's some people here that need to be prayed for, need to be prayed with. There's some people here that need to be saved. There's some people here that just need to come down to Your altar and give You back what rightly is Yours. God, You know there's some people here that just need to pray for other people in other situations, God. But whatever our needs is, this invitation is open from You to us. And God, You invite us to come and be a part of Your kingdom work. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. Let's all stand. If you've got a need in your life or you want Mike or I to pray with you or for you or you just want to come to the altar or whatever your need is, you come today. Right?